Welcome to each of you who have connected in here today on the month of June, our monthly Parkinson's Recovery Support Group gathering. Thank you so much for joining us, whether you are here live or listening to the recording. As is the tradition for our support group gatherings, I'm going to have some preliminary comments about what we've been doing here at Parkinson's Recovery for the month of June. I've got some questions that were submitted from those of you who needed to have some answers. I'll read those and provide my comments and reflections after doing a little thought and research for each. I'll open up, of course, the opportunity for any of you who have connected in or called in to offer your 2 cents worth as well, since these would be only my responses and not responses from you. What's been up at Parkinson's Recovery for the month of June? In the date of June the 2nd, I had and sponsored and hosted quite an interesting individual, Tom House. Tom was a very well-known major league pitcher, and he basically pitched for a lot of very famous professional major league baseball teams. He's now a very famous coach, and he coaches some of the most well-known athletes out there. Tom apparently is well-known, he said on the radio show, for pitching the pitch that Hank Aaron, who is a baseball player, who hit the home run from that actually exceeded Babe Ruth's record of home runs. Of course, that record's been exceeded since then, but Tom said, well, that's one of the reasons why he's famous today. Now, Tom is interesting for several reasons. He developed symptoms of Parkinson's. He's also a PhD kind of researcher in movement. Tom is gathered together with some developers of a new app technology that sends some information to people about movement. And it also apparently collects information from you about what's happening when you move your body in certain ways. The app is, I think, in the early stages of development. He didn't have a lot of details for it, but it's a fascinating technology. It may very well be in the beta stage that becoming involved will incur no cost on your part. So getting to know a little bit more about the progress of that might be a really interesting journey for you. A big part of what I did this particular month was to begin answering questions that had been submitted by you and some other listeners. I thought that I would be airing one program with the questions that I received, but as it turned out, I had so many questions, I kept having to sponsor one program after another. So we have 4 programs with answers to questions that were submitted, all of the questions I found to be really rich and fascinating. Now, I have posted all of the audio replays of these Q&A sessions on the Updates from Robert web page on the member website pages. All you need to do is to connect into that page, and you'll see for each of the 4 programs, I have a list of the questions that were actually asked and that I responded to, and so you can see which of the programs you might be most interested in listening to. I also answered some additional questions that I didn't list as well. One of the other activities for this month that I've been engaged in is to refine the curriculum for the Jumpstart to Recovery course. I offered one course in the first part of this year, so I'm actually offering a second Jumpstart to Recovery course beginning August the 1st. It's 8 live sessions with me. I know some of you have had the opportunity to be in the course, so you are well aware the whole emphasis of the course is to facilitate the identification of the cause or causes of the symptoms that you currently experience. And so I work with each individual over the course of the 8 sessions. Once those causes have been pretty well targeted, then the second effort is to identify some therapies, some activities that will really help you address those causes. So it's a 2-step kind of a process. What's causing the problem, and then what can you do about it? So So it's not the kind of program where if you do step 1, 2, 3, and 4, you're going to get well. It's basically saying, oh, these causes are so multifaceted, it depends on your personal situation. So basically, I'm facilitating your own discovery and putting you in full control. So if you're interested, we're filling up pretty quickly because we have limited space. But if you're interested, be sure to connect in and sign up here this week, if not today. I'm probably going to have to close it here in the next few days. So I want to now move to read some of the questions that I have received and just provide the comments that I've got on each one. And again, I want to invite those of you who have called in or connected in, if you've got some different insights, experience, reflections, or comments on any of these questions, if you could just make a note so when I get in and connect with you, if you could just add your 2 cents worth. This is just only my comments based on the research and interviews that I've actually conducted. And by the way, as a qualifier, remember everyone that I'm not a medical doctor, I'm a researcher, PhD kind of researcher. If anything I say ever sounds like it's any kind of a recommendation that you go out and pursue a therapy or anything that I say that you think might indicate a diagnosis, it's not, and you need to check with your medical doctor. So I don't diagnose, and I certainly can't treat any disease. Anything that I might say really is only a reflection of what I've discovered through my research. First question comes from Claire, and actually Claire submitted this in the question and answer section there of the teleseminar page last class session. I didn't see it until after we closed up, but I promised that I would discuss it here today in our June support group meeting. She asked, could you talk on dystonia and what can help? Well, Claire, there's a lot of mystery over what are the causes of dystonia, but from my research, a major factor winds up being medications. So it could be the combination of medications that a person is taking, or more typically, too much medications, so that when there's too much dopamine and other kind of hormones that are generating and circulating around the body, it can cause these kind of spastic or difficult movements. And so you're sort of asking, well, what can help? I would recommend that you consider getting a consultation with a compounding pharmacist. The reality is medical doctors prescribe medicines. They really have no idea all the medicines you are taking. I have talked with many individuals who will tell me that they're seeing 4 or 5 different medical specialists and they're taking 10 or 12 medications. And of course, each medical specialist has no idea what the other doctors are prescribing. So what you really need in order to address the problems of dystonia is to get a professional who can step back and look at everything that you're putting into your body and make recommendations for what you might do in terms of reducing the dosage of some or even eliminating some in some particular fashion or substituting some of the medications. Now, the person that I think you might consider contacting for a consultation would be a guest I had on the radio show recently, Ross Pelton, P-E-L-T-O-N. He's known as the natural pharmacist. Ross is on the editorial board of Life Extension that many of you are familiar with, so he's really very well known for many, many different reasons. What Ross does say is, first of all, it's important work that he loves to do for people. You will have to be able to contact your own doctors who prescribe the medicines and make sure that you have their permission to involve Ross in this particular analysis. So you tell Ross what the situation is, and he does a lot of research and then makes some recommendations on perhaps some changes you might want to consider. And that's given that the factors that may causing this may be simply the medications that you are taking. And again, the solution winds up being perhaps reducing dosage or perhaps switching out one medication for another, depending on what it's supposed to be addressing, or even eliminating some. But again, you don't want to do that by yourself. It really takes a person who's qualified, who knows all about these medicines and their side effects and who can really connect in with you and make some very firm and solid recommendations. So that's the first kind of suggestion that I have. It may be the problem is caused by what you're putting into your body, so get a professional to look at the whole picture. I've got a second suggestion for you, Claire, and it's going to be a rather interesting one. There was a video that was posted on the YouTube a number of years ago, and it I think is still live. I've got it linked, I think, through the Road to Recovery update. And in this particular video, it shows a man who had very serious case of dystonia. And he basically, he could walk, but boy, he really struggled with a lot of very difficult movements, jerky kind of movements. So he sat down, and then he put on some blue shaded glasses. And then you watched him stand up, and he walked effortlessly, no problem whatsoever. So it may be that a really, really simple fix or solution to the dystonia could be to begin to experiment with wearing different colored glasses. So you might be able to just go to a 5- and 10-cent store and just see if you could put on different colored glasses and see if it makes any difference. The colored glasses that this particular subject wore in the video that I saw was blue. Both Deborah and I have been fascinated with that idea, and she found a website that sells colored glasses. So she bought 12 different glasses with different sorts of colors, and we both, every day, we put on different colors. It's really, I want to say, Claire, I'm going to use the word trippy. I might be dating myself from hippie years, but it really is quite fascinating to put on a different color and to see what that does. And then the color, what you're actually seeing, changes over a matter of about a minute or two. So there's a whole technology, a whole therapy known as color therapy. It's very powerful. Most people don't realize what colors do to our own ability to perceive, to function, to feel. So consider color therapy as an option you might want to consider that would be low cost, interesting, fun, and boy, it's possible. For example, that if wearing blue glasses might actually provide some significant improvement in with your dystonia, you might get some pretty quick relief. So that's my 2 cents worth of something you might want to experiment with. The first suggestion, I think, in the long run is probably going to be providing the best support, which is, it sounds like the issue really is some combination of medications that may be causing the problem. Second question comes from Trula, and basically the question is, where do I find instructions for detox methods and diets? How do I choose which one or more to try? What a great question. And earlier, Trula, you had asked in one of the Q&A sessions, I had mentioned a detox herbal that is known as spirulina. And I didn't say that very clearly, and so you asked me, could I please spell it? It's called spirulina, S-P-I-R-U-L-I-N-A. It's my understanding that it's one of the best detoxes out there in its pure form, and it's also very inexpensive of all things. I suspect that a reason a lot of people don't take spirulina is it's got a rather bitter taste to it. And so it's not a favorite in terms of detox methods. There are some herbal treatments that the taste is really quite good. But spirulina, when just taken as a powder, has a bitter taste. And so typically people have to take it with something else in order to literally gulp it down. Now, your question basically is, well, wait a minute now. What detox methods do I use? How do I get started with this? That's a great question because there are so many detox methods out there. Woo! I'm telling you right now, it's overwhelming. I'm surprised that there are not some medical doctors who have not specialized in just the practice of detoxing because it's very, very complicated out there. So there are many, many different herbs. There are many, many different methods. One of the primary methods that I want to suggest you consider is a very clean juice diet. In other words, instead of eating a whole lot of food that has to be digested, you can actually get a pretty good cleanse by being very careful with your diet. How do you cleanse your liver? And, of course, the function of the liver is to get rid of toxins. Well, believe it or not, one of the best things you can do is just not to eat anything, let's say, from morning until the evening. In other words, give your body a fast for a short period of time. Now, if there are reasons you shouldn't do that because of diabetes, obviously don't. But if you're in a position where you can fast for short periods of time, I know some naturopath doctors recommend to their patients, look, a best way for you to detox your liver in particular is to do these periodic fastings, which means you can drink some water for a period of, let's say, 8 or 10 hours, but you don't eat anything during that time. So it's a great way to facilitate the detoxing of the liver. One particular substance that is really outstanding for detoxing that I personally use periodically and would recommend is called zeolite, Z-E-O-L-I-T-E, zeolite. And zeolite has this marvelous molecular structure where it basically grabs hold and locks into these heavy metals. It actually is pretty efficient in getting rid of the heavy metals in the body. So zeolite is an excellent kind of a possibility to consider. It's available, I think, commercially. And so you can go to a health food store and typically find somebody that will sell zeolite. How do I choose which ones to try? I have an interesting perspective for you, Trula, and it's just my perspective. Please know that. I think one of the best approaches is something that I've always used, and that is, well, always go for different kind of methods. Don't just rely on one. So I'll think to myself, it's been about 4 or 5 months since I've done any detoxing. I think it's time. And so I'll go to the health food store. I'll find somebody there who's knowledgeable, and I'll say, well, do you have a detox method that you would recommend? I think I've been exposed to some pesticides recently. And they'll, show me several possibilities on the shelf. And then I muscle test. I just ask my body. I'll hold that particular possibility, and I'll muscle test. I have my own way of self-muscle testing myself, and I'll just figure out, okay, that's the one I need to use now. So the detox method that I need to use today or this week is likely going to be different from the detox method that I should have been using 4 years ago or the one that I should use 4 years from today. So I think it always is going to change, and you can go out, and if you have a test that says, well, you've got a lot of iron, excess iron, you've got a lot of excess mercury, there are certain herbs that you can take that are specifically known to facilitate the detoxing of those specific heavy metals. And so that's another possibility. I really think that when it comes to detoxing, one of the best strategies is to find a naturopath doctor who can get to know your body. And basically the one that I use, the naturopath I use, is somebody who does this bioenergetic testing. And so she can see what toxins are in my body, and then she can test out to see which of the detox methods my body will respond to. There are so many of them. And so with her particular method, she can go in and say, okay, what is my body going to resonate with? And she just checks a detox method 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way down to 20 or 30 or 40. And she'll find the method that at least for this week, for now, my body is going to respond to. I do think then that it's going to depend on your body. It's going to depend on what you need in the moment. Another possibility for detoxing, I think you're probably thinking of herbs and things like zeolite. You can also do these colon cleanses that I think are a great way to detox as well. Oftentimes, the toxins get really lodged in the colon. That's the large intestine. And what happens is the body literally just recycles those toxins. They never really quite get out. So they get into the colon, and then the body says, oh, we've got some bad stuff in there. So the body carries those toxins back up to the liver. The liver basically processes them out and sends them back to the colon. And so they just juggle back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They never really leave. So it may be, if you've never done this, to consider the possibility of getting a regimen or a series of colon cleanses so that you can just exit all of the toxins that are just stuck in the colon. So that's another possible strategy that you could pursue for detoxing. And, of course, don't forget, another kind of a detox method that's going to be good for everyone is the infrared saunas. They're great for being able to exude the awful stuff that's in the body. So it's a wonderful question. There's no one clear answer to that. If anybody tells you, well, there's only one method to use, that's absolutely ridiculous. There are many, many different methods. The most natural and the one that you can start right now is just to fast for a while. If you feel like in consultation with your doctor, that would be an appropriate thing for you to do. Fast for 8 hours, or if you can fast for longer, great. And I think what you'll find is that gives your body the energy and the opportunity to get rid of some of those toxins. Next question comes from Anita. I read of a new form of magnesium, L-threonate, being good for crossing the blood-brain barrier to help with memory. Is there any evidence it could help PD symptoms? Well, the specific answer to that, Anita, is no. This is really a new substance. It's just a relatively one of those newcomers out on the market. No real solid evidence on pretty much anything, including memory. I would suggest, first of all, that magnesium itself, whether it's in this specialized form or not, is one of those supplements that I believe personally is essential for everyone, not just people who have neurological symptoms. We do not get enough magnesium in the food that we eat these days. We just don't. You have to supplement magnesium. And magnesium is a key ingredient in facilitating the normal, balanced functioning of the body. Now, this is something that you inject into your body by pill form. The magnesium that I like a great deal is magnesium lotion. Now, there's magnesium oil, there's magnesium lotion. The lotion that I use is from Ancient Minerals, and it's a very high-quality, excellent magnesium. I know that for people who have some cramping or for some rigidity in their body, if they'll just get some of that lotion and rub it on the place that's the cramping or the tightness, it will oftentimes relax. Magnesium is wonderful for that, but don't use it just for that. I put magnesium on my body every single day after a shower without fail, because I think it's something that the body really needs, and we don't get enough of that from our food. Now, you addressed the issue of memory, so I'm guessing, well, memory may be somewhat of a perplexing issue for you, as it is for many. I want to suggest, well, of course you can find some supplements, some what they call brain foods, to see if you can enhance your memory. My experience, personally as well as professionally, is diet is the underlying causal factor when it comes to memory issues. And so one of the best strategies that you can pursue is, if memory is an issue, is no gluten, no sugar. Clean up your diet. I've done experiments with myself, and basically I like these little breads and these gluten-loaded kind of foods like pastas. And so I'll eat that for a week, not every day, but I mean, I basically don't have any filter on what I eat. And I notice, wow, all of a sudden by the end of the week, I'm having a little difficulty. I remember getting a call from someone this morning, but I can't remember who they were or what it was about. Or I remember there was something I was supposed to do by the end of the day, but I can't remember what it is, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's not that I can't function. It's just that I'm losing that sharp ability to remember specifically what I need to do. And what I'll then do is I'll say, okay, well, I haven't been very careful about my diet. Let me get rid of the gluten. Let me get rid of the sugar. Let me reduce the carbs and see what happens. And I'm telling you, it doesn't take very long, a week, 2 weeks, and all of a sudden that memory just perks right back up. So you can try some of these brain foods like magnesium and others to enhance memory. But in the end, everything centers in the diet. And so I would suggest if memory is the issue, then why not consider altering the diet if you have not already done so? So the real question is, well, why is memory an issue? And the one kind of a comment that I want to really stress, Anita, is many people falsely have this idea, well, as you get older, you know, you can't remember things. I've heard people use the kind of a phrase, "Ooh, I just had a senior moment." Well, no. There are many people that are 100, 105, 110, even older, whose memory is as sharp as a tack. It's not a question of age. It's a question of the normal functioning of our body and what we're putting in our body. So lift out that false belief and realizing memory can be brought back to a sharp tack now if you take the right steps. So magnesium, in conclusion, can be something wonderful to take. I don't have any specific evidence, as you were asking me about, in terms of evidence. I don't know of anybody who's taken that, who's given me a report back. I don't have any then direct evidence from reports from individuals, and there's no research. But test it out yourself. Do a little muscle testing, Anita. Maybe that's exactly what your body needs right now. Magnesium is something that really is critical. Next question comes from Noreen. How to achieve life balance with Parkinson's disease? That is, how much attention do I give to Parkinson's disease without becoming completely consumed by or with it? I sometimes feel like it has taken over my whole life, and I need to step away from reading, research, support groups, events, etc., to give other aspects of my life some attention. But how do I do that without neglecting to give Parkinson's disease-related activities the attention I need to in order to thrive? Noreen, my response is probably going to surprise you. You're asking the question, how much attention do I give to Parkinson's disease? My thought, my reaction, my answer upon reflecting on your question for now a number of days is, give no attention to Parkinson's, none, zip. I believe that the road to recovery comes from focusing on health, on wellness, something that everybody ought to do, something that a person who has cancer or who has Lou Gehrig's disease or who has other debilitating issues needs to do. Instead of focusing on whatever might have been given the label of what you have, you focus on life-giving activities. Now, Noreen, look down the 12 pages of the member websites. What you're going to notice is there's not a focus there on the websites on Parkinson's disease. There's a focus on the kind of activities that are critical to sustaining life to its fullest. So, for example, exercise. There's a website on exercise. Every week, there's a suggestion of a little short exercise you can do. It's going to be different. Everybody needs to exercise. There is a website with a little quote, and it's just a general quote about health. That's inspiring. There's a website that basically gives a challenge, a problem to solve. It has nothing to do with Parkinson's. It's basically a way to craft new neural networks. There's a website on mind work, which is my name, my term that I've given for what can facilitate the balance of the right and the left side of the body through these various exercises, through slapping our hands on our legs or clapping our hands or basically remembering certain kind of phrases, both frontwards and backwards. In other words, neural network brain work, which forges new neural network. Now, that again, that doesn't focus on Parkinson's. It's something everybody should be doing, both young and old. And so if you look down, that everything that is presented on the website really is not focused on symptoms or medications. It's basically focusing on the kind of activities you need to get well. What I do know is that when people follow their passions, when they spend the time in their life doing what it is that they love to do and have always loved to do, the symptoms are of little, if no, consequence. So symptoms become nothing to be concerned about. And so whatever your passions are, whatever you love to do, whatever you do, pursue it starting this moment, right now. Do not stop. A lot of people feel like, oh, goodness, my body's not going to permit me to be able to do woodworking anymore. Well, really? Why don't you go and try? At least do it, obviously, safely with equipment that you can be sure you'll be safe with. But why don't you re-enter that hobby? And perhaps it was a profession. And I think what you'll find is with focusing on what it is that gives your body energy and gives you thrills and excitement, that is the best dopamine boost you can ever give to your body. That is the best way that you can balance your hormones. Now, there's another reason I want to suggest that you focus on the life-giving activities rather than on Parkinson's. There is this awful belief out there that what we're going to do is we're going to do this little analysis and we're going to figure out, well, here's the kind of thing you can do that will fix the problem. The body is the most complex living entity ever, ever created. And so every second there are millions of chemical interactions in the body. I mean, the body functions in ways that nobody really understands. And so you may be reading a particular research article that will say, well, if you'll take supplement A, this particular person who couldn't walk before can walk now. He's totally well. And you'll think, oh, that's the answer. I'll take that particular supplement. Well, the body is anything but that simple. We've got so many amino acids. We've got so many hormones. We've got so many chemicals in our body that are essential to normal functioning, and many that haven't even been discovered. For us to be able to try to understand, okay, if I take this particular medicine that I'm going to get well, I think it's pretty simplistic. And so the best thing we can do is to love our body, to treat it as a sacred vessel, and to say, look, I'm going to now devote my energy and my time to nourishing and supporting my body the way that I know that it needs to be supported. So if there's one kind of thing, and I'm even listening to this support group, you're probably thinking, but should I be spending this time listening to everybody talking? Well, that's a good point. But, of course, we're positive here. We're not talking about problems that people are having. We're talking about what's working for people. So it's an uplifting experience, not a downer, so to speak. Sometimes when you go to support groups in a physical sense, it can be very depressing, and so that's not the kind of activity that you need to repeat over and over. Make a habit what it is that gives you great joy, whatever it is, and I think you'll find that you're going to begin to get well pretty, pretty quickly. So as a reminder, Noreen, the whole design of the member websites is to invite you to just check in every day for 5 or 10 minutes. And the idea is you're reminded of a little exercise. You're reminded of a natural, fresh food that you need to eat. You could even go out and get the ingredients you need for that particular suggestion for that day and make that your focused activity. There's a meditation that basically encourages you to release anything that might be holding back your ability to reverse whatever symptoms you experience. And we have meditations on many, many different topics every single week. The meditation this week is a meditation I'm very proud of because I've heard so many people in the questions and answers as they wrote, there were all sorts of limiting thoughts that were expressed. I may have alienated, and I apologize for anybody that I did this to, when I pointed out that basically they are limiting their ability to heal by the language that they are using. So please, if anything, listen to the longer meditation for the week, which is an incredibly powerful and effective way to transform your thoughts about health and wellness. It works. I use it all the time. And then every weekday for this week, starting today, you're going to have every day a little short meditation of 4 or 5 minutes that basically builds on that longer meditation, so that by the end of the week, you should be able then to have what we call a restorative statement that basically emphasizes what you want to accomplish, not what you want to avoid. Now, Noreen, you have another question that I also want to address, and this is a topic that you're interested in, is sweating and Parkinson's disease. How can we reduce or eliminate it? And so what I want to suggest is when they're sweating, and again, this is from a research perspective, so I'm not sure this is the case for you, but when they're sweating, it means that the kidneys are not functioning as well as they need to. And so if the kidneys can't get rid of the toxins, then the toxins exit through the skin, and that's what causes the sweating. So most people that have sweating probably have some heavy metal contamination. How do you then reduce or eliminate the sweating? Well, it really typically means that it's important to begin to do some detoxing. The infrared saunas can be some excellent therapy for that. Give it a month or two doing some of these daily infrared saunas, and I think you'll find you'll begin to get rid of a lot of the toxins if, in fact, that turns out to be the case. Now, another little thing that Noreen said, and so everybody ears up, Noreen says, I purchased mannitol, which is a substance, it's a natural sugar that Don McCammon is now producing in a product called Sinoclean, after listening to the radio show, the interview that I did now several years ago. However, I ultimately decided not to try it. If anyone is interested in having it, I have two unopened steel tubs of it that I am willing to give to someone. I just want to announce that. And if you are interested in taking advantage of that wonderful offer from Noreen, please email her, and you can find that email to writetonor@gmail.com. So WRITE, the number 2NOR@gmail.com. What a wonderful offer. Last question comes from Bill. In one of your Q&A answers, you stated that taking levodopa medication will eventually destroy whatever capacity the brain has left to make dopamine on its own. Could you address today if this is a conjecture, or if there is research backing this up? Boy, thanks for that question, Bill. There's no research backing this up whatsoever. But I wouldn't say it's conjecture. I would say that the words that I must have used to describe this were misleading. If I use the word destroy, that's the wrong word, and that's the wrong way to explain this. Here's the idea. The idea is that when you're taking, it doesn't matter whether it's levodopa or lots and lots of supplements, it doesn't really matter what the medication is. Over time, you're going to have to take more and more of that. So that's well documented if you're on the levodopa and other kinds of medications for other kinds of illnesses. Typically, more and more medication is needed. So the logical implication of that is the body has to devote more and more energy and attention to eliminating the toxic residue from taking the additional medication. In other words, more energy has to be spent getting rid of the toxic offshoot. So all medications, all food, have a toxic residue. It's just that the more medication you take, the more effort the body has to spend to get rid of what it's not using. So the body uses some of the medication, but then it has to get rid of the rest. And so what I'm saying is, it's not that the capacity to produce dopamine is all of a sudden, quote, destroyed. That's not the idea. The idea is that the body has to devote more energy to get rid of the toxins and less energy to producing dopamine and the other essential kind of hormones that are necessary for balance and wellness. So it's really just an argument of body overload. So not so much conjecture, but rather just a logical conclusion based on what's happening. So the body only has so much energy to devote to do what it needs to do. I mean, it's not a limitless computer that has endless processing capacity. It is limited, although it is a miracle. And so when the body is having to spend more and more energy, again, getting rid of the excess toxins, then there's less energy that it has to devote to basically devoting to the normal functions of producing these and creating these natural hormones. So dopamine is only one of them. And I do think that nothing is destroyed. It's just that that system is literally silenced. It's deactivated because the body doesn't have enough energy to devote to being able to get that activated. So it's really a logical argument of how the body has to spend their time. So the way you can always understand what the body is doing is it's going to always focus its energy on the life-threatening issues. That's what it's always going to do. And so if it looks like, oh, there's toxins here, if we allow them to hang around, there's going to be serious problems, it'll put that as a high priority. And so it either gets rid of the toxins, or if it can't get rid of the toxins through the kidney, the liver, and the large colon, which are the elimination organs, what it'll do is it'll send the toxins to the extremities and just sort of store them there. When it has the energy to get rid of them, then it might be able to go out to the extremities and then eliminate them again through the kidneys or the liver or the large intestines. So that gets to the end of the questions that were submitted. Thank you so much for those of you who sent those in. Those were in addition to those that we had already answered in our first Q&A sessions. And again, on the updates from Robert, weekly updates from Robert on the member website, remember there are four postings of answers to questions that I submitted. I worked all week long on preparing the questions and actually offering the programs. I have a couple of questions from Vana that were written here, and one of them is, what is the source of the magnesium lotion? So it's from a company that's called Ancient Minerals, A-N-C-I-E-N-T, dash minerals, minerals.com. And I think they actually may have a new website, so it'll click you over to the new one. And you'll see they have a lot of magnesium products. They have a magnesium oil, a magnesium lotion. The one that I really, really like, I don't like the oil personally. It's a little sticky, but the lotion is really wonderful for me. So that's what I get. And it's very inexpensive given the benefit that you actually get. And Bonnie has a second question that she actually submitted as we began our support group meeting. What is your colored glasses or lens, your ULR? What is the contact information? So I'm sorry, I don't have that URL for the colored glasses, Vana, but I will get it from Deborah, and I will post it on the updates from Robert website for everyone. It's really quite exciting, actually. I don't have that right now or today, but I will get that and we'll post it on updates from Robert. What is the contact information for Ross Pelton? And so the contact information for Ross would be on his website, and he's easy to find on the internet. All you need to do is to do a search for Natural Pharmacist Ross, R-O-S-S, Pelton, P-E-L-T-O-N, and his website comes, it just flops up right at the very top. I believe that the actual URL address is something like naturalpharmacist.net, but I'm not sure that's right. But again, it's easy for me to find his website. That's all I do, Natural Pharmacist Ross Pelton, and he'll come right up. He operates out of the state of Oregon. And so those are the questions that were submitted. Let me now check into those of you who've called in. And just as a reminder, this is kind of just like we were in a room all sitting around face-to-face, and each person has a chance to say hi. And if you've got any updates of what you've been doing that's been helping or not helping, or any additional questions, now's a good time to pitch them in, or any other follow-up comments on any of the questions that have already been submitted. So let me see if I can click in now to Karen. Hello, Karen. Taylor. I'm trying to see if I can click into Karen, but I'm having difficulty here with unmuting you, Karen. Let me see if we can do this in a different way. Looks like the system is a little sleepy right now. I'm not able to. Hello, if you can hear me, could you just speak up?
Hello.
Hi. Oh, great. All right. So, so why don't I just see if I can ask your name, Karen? Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, great, great. So I just wanted to say hi. I've got everybody on the open mic because I couldn't do each person individually. So, did you have any updates for you? How are things going?
Pretty good.
Great. Well, I just wanted to say hi.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And if you have any questions, remember always to submit them in, and we would be delighted to discuss them. So let's check. Hello, Bill. Are you there?
Oh, hi, Robert.
Hi there. Hi there. So how are you doing?
Doing all right. How are you?
Good. Good. Any updates?
I have an update that involves a rat question. Are you familiar with a type of called the Franklin technique?
It's called the Franklin technique?
Yes.
What does it do exactly?
It's kind of like it uses process. Real light massage that uses props, so you're lying on your back with little blocks and pillows and rubber balls and stuff positioned underneath your body to kind of get it into alignment a little better and get you to stand up straighter and walk a little bit.
Have you tried it?
Yeah, I've gone through a couple of sessions. It seems to help, so that's why I'm asking about it.
Oh, it sounds wonderful to me. I don't have any additional evidence for you, Bill, from people who've also used that particular therapy. But, boy, what you described sounds delicious to me.
Yeah, it's kind of unusual. It's different. Standard massage doesn't do much. Acupuncture doesn't do much for me.
Right.
I tried Bowen. I tried cranial sacral. So I've gone through a bunch. This one seems more.
Oh, good. And you've had a couple of sessions?
A couple of sessions. I'm going to go maybe a couple more. So next time, next month, I'll maybe have some more information about it.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Sounds like it's helping already. And in another month, you'll even have a clearer update about what the outcome has been for you. It sounds like it helps with posture, then.
Yes, and it was invented by a guy who worked with dancers and people who had difficulties. So I think
well, Bill,
finding.
You are a genuine pioneer.
Well, that's unusual to come to you.
Well, I really look forward to hearing what the outcome is, and if there's anybody for me to put on the show to talk about that, let me know.
Okay, I will.
Well, thank you so much.
Good thing.
And I'm still having some difficulty with our system, so I want to ask, hello, Trula, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi. So what's up with you?
Well, I've tried starting a vegan diet. I'm really concerned about toxicity in my digestive system. I seem to be having lots of problems there. And so a couple weeks back, I started a vegan diet, and I do feel better. I do not have that kind of gallbladder cramping and my digestion, and it seems to be better overall, but I'm concerned about getting enough protein as a vegan, and the protein, as my neurologist has said, is necessary to produce glutathione. So I wonder if you have any thoughts about that kind of a diet and glutathione.
Oh, glutathione is one of these very essential kind of supplements that are needed for most people with Parkinson's. There is an enzyme that was developed by some Estonia researchers several years back. It's called ME3. And Ross Pelton, who we mentioned a little earlier, the natural pharmacist, went out to interview them in Estonia to just verify that this was the real deal. And he now has identified a supplement that's called RegActive that contains this ME3 in it. It's a liver detox, and it also has this enzyme. Again, the letters are ME3, and of course the M and the E stand for this complicated chemical name. So you might listen to the radio show interview that I did with Ross Pelton, and that was, I guess, about 4 months ago. And you could go on to the radio show page, or here on the member website, if you go down to where it says radio show, and then if you'll just click on glutathione, I think his show should come right up in the listing of shows with the topic of glutathione. So it's called, the supplement is called RegActive. It, again, contains this enzyme that facilitates the natural production of glutathione in the body. The difficulty with glutathione supplements is that they don't pass the blood-brain barrier, as I'm sure you're already aware. And so you have to do it in a different way. And what they've discovered is, well, this enzyme somehow facilitates the body's natural ability to produce glutathione.
Okay, so I've been using RegActive for a couple of months, and I have listened to Ross Pelton's radio program with you. What I understand you to say then is, if I'm using a vegan diet and taking the RegActive, that probably I don't need to be too concerned about the precursors to glutathione, but I'd probably be okay with that.
I would guess, of course, only you and your doctor would know. That would be my suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
My other reaction to the vegan diet is there are, for instance, beans. There are wonderful food products that are vegan that are also high protein, like nuts and beans.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah,
vegan doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that you're not getting the protein.
Right. And I'm making a list of vegetables that are high in protein, so I'm trying to be careful with it. But I just wanted to know if you'd heard anything about that. Can I ask you a second question?
Oh, of course. That's what we're here for.
Okay. Next week, I am going to a university medical center to have an appointment with a movement specialist who's a neurologist. And I'm trying to think, since I won't have too many opportunities, maybe this might be my only opportunity to talk with him. I'm trying to make a list of the most important questions to ask a movement specialist. And I'm wondering if you can give me some ideas about if it was you, what would you ask?
Well, what do you expect out of that appointment from them?
It's primarily an assessment to see where I'm at right now with the Parkinson's and to find out maybe more about any exercises that could be suggested. But it's a backup to the neurologist that I have locally. We don't have really good neurologists in my area. So I'm trying to find somebody who's got more expertise on this.
Now, are they a physical therapist?
Are there physical therapists?
I mean, is this where you're going, to a place
No.
that has physical therapy expertise?
No, I'm going to be talking to a neurologist, an MD neurologist, who is a movement specialist.
Oh, I see. You know, I don't know. Do you know how much time that appointment will allocate for you?
No, I don't.
It may be it's only 10 or 15 minutes.
I doubt it, because it's a first visit, and it's going to be for an assessment. So I think I'll have
okay.
10 minutes. Yeah.
So let's hope it's an hour and a half. I think what would probably help you the most is to get some recommendations on some, let's say, specific exercises that you might do to strengthen the muscles that you need to strengthen in order to be able to become mobile in a effortless sense. So do you have an exercise routine now that you go through?
Yeah, I have just finished a round of sessions with a physical therapist, and so I have all these exercises that I can use. And I exercise every day, so it's not like I'm not, you know, doing what has so far been advised, but if I'm speaking to a person who apparently has more expertise than anybody else here locally, I want to really try to get the most out of that visit and ask the most pertinent questions.
Right. Well, do you have concerns about your posture?
No.
Do you have your concerns about your coordination?
Yes.
In terms of left and right?
Yes.
So one of the questions you might ask them is there are a lot of brain kind of exercise programs out there.
Oh, okay.
That facilitate the coordination of the right and the left side of the brain.
Okay.
And so you might say, what programs are they aware of that they would recommend that you could pursue? When I say program, it could be something, just a website that has like a brain gym.
Uh-huh.
And you can go in there and do some of their exercises on that page. We've got, this is not an answer to your question, but don't forget on the member websites, there's a whole page where we do mind work.
Okay.
And I think on that page for this week, I've got a coordination kind of a thing that's posted for the right and left side of the brain. So these are ways that you can just get the right side and the left side of the brain to communicate a little bit more effectively.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, that's a good idea.
So they might have some websites or exercises or programs. It could be physical, where you would go to the program, or they could be CDs that you could purchase of things that you could do to really facilitate that communication back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, one of the things you can really say is, now, you've watched me walk and you've done all these tests. What movements should I, in my exercise program, emphasize? What exercises would really help me improve my ability to become more coordinated?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to watch you move, and you can say, all right, I want to be able to, in my exercise routine, make sure that I do the exercises that will help build up the ability to remedy that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
What are they? You know, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
So if they know a lot about how the body functions, then they might have some great recommendations of something you can do.
Okay. Well, a couple of good ideas. Thank you, Robert.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I think I don't want to overload you with questions because you may have limited time, but one of the issues with coordination that is problematic for a lot of people, given the interviews I've done, is the muscles, basically muscles in the legs are not strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize that that's a big factor in terms of coordination. And so you might want to just say, okay, could you check out the strength of my leg muscles?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? I do exercises, or do I need to strengthen them even more? Am I solid enough down there or not? And another kind of thing you might want to pursue with them is when people think about movement and issues with coordination, realize that a lot of the issue turns on visual and auditory, what you see and what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
And you could even ask them if they know of any ophthalmologists or optometrists that are specialists in terms of neurological assistance. There are specialists, and they can prescribe glasses that are concave or convex, depending on your situation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the reasons, we have an echo, so my apology to everyone, but my system here, I can't turn off everyone. So a lot of the issues with movement are that your peripheral vision is not good enough, that you see on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might want to just also ask them, all right, how is my peripheral vision? Is it where it needs to be? And so sometimes the reason why coordination is an issue is if you take your hand and ask yourself, how far, when I'm looking straight ahead, how far do I have to put my hand forward if I've got it beside my ear before I see it? And the do it on the right side. It's possible that your peripheral vision on one side is less than the other.
That's really interesting.
And if it is less, that's one of the primary reasons for the coordination problem. And so an ophthalmologist can actually prescribe glasses that will even out the peripheral vision.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to just ask them, do they support that kind of thing? Do they know of anybody that they would recommend, or if they would think that would be a good idea or not?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, you've got a lot to consider. We look forward to hearing maybe next month about how that went and if they had recommendations you found were going to be really useful.
Okay, great.
Well, thank you so much for connecting in.
Thank you, Robert.
And let me see. We got one more that I want to connect in with, but my system is not still cooperating. So let me see if I can. Ivana, is that you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi there. So did you have any updates for us? Any questions?
If anybody else is on the other line, have them press star 6.
Star 6,
we'll
please. Yeah, that's a great idea. Star 6. I'm not able to control that from the panel for some reason right now.
But each caller can check.
There we go. They all did it. Okay. So how's it going?
Fine. I have been going. I'm a practitioner for Bowen work.
Yes.
Bowen work is a relaxation type of technique that's very good. So if anybody wants to know where a practitioner is in the United States, they could go to Bowen work, and I will spell it, BowenWorkUSA.com. Bowen work, B-O-W-E-N, Bowen work, all one word, Bowen work, B-O-W-E-N. WorkUSA.com.
Awesome.
And you can put in your zip code and do a search for a practitioner.
Awesome.
Very, very effective kind of relaxation technique for a Parkinson's person.
Yes. And John Coleman, the naturopath doctor from Australia, strongly recommends Bowen therapy for people. He found it very useful for himself.
And another thing I might add is I have a daughter-in-law who does Alexander Technique.
Yes.
Alexander Technique deals with posture. And I would be glad she is available sometime for interviews by telephone. So just an idea, Robert, maybe interview her sometime.
Awesome. Later. We'll have to have her on the show. And we have on the member website pages Walk with Ease and Balance website. And uh-huh. On that, we just had posted several weeks ago a whole set of information and instructions on the Alexander Technique. I'll repost that for everyone, so you'll have that as well.
Okay.
So that's some additional information on Alexander.
And most recently, I've been taking the coenzyme Q10.
Yeah.
And that seems to help me.
Awesome. Are you taking a high-quality one?
Yeah, it's a liquid that, I don't know the exact source of the L. It's a liquid.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Yeah, CoQ10 can be really important for a lot of people because a lot of the medications deplete that, and it's important anyway for the body's normal function. There's an interesting substitute for CoQ10 that I just discovered yesterday. It's called it's a substance that you can get from a naturopath called pine bark. It's got pine bark in it, and apparently it's just as good as CoQ. Yeah, it's just as good as CoQ10. So there are substitutes to that if the CoQ10 doesn't work for somebody, but it sounds like it is working for you. So that's great news.
Also, I'm taking some stuff from an herb company, and I'd be glad to provide that later to you.
Oh, great. Wonderful. And I can post that on the updates from Robert, Bonnie. If you'll send that to me, I'll just post it automatically on the updates from Robert so everybody can see it.
Taking broad bean, and I understand broad bean is in the pharmaceuticals that most people get for Parkinson's.
Yeah.
that and Skullcap.
Great. Wonderful.
Those
well, you're
two
doing,
things
you
are
make it,
very, very,
it's been very helpful
two
to you.
Things are very good, very good for trimmers.
Great. Wonderful.
So it's an herb company that I belong to, and because I belong to it, I get a discount. So.
Oh. So one of them was Skullcap?
Yeah, it's Skullcap and Broad Beans.
Broadbeans.
Yeah, and then in the back, sometimes I have pain under my shoulder blade.
Oh.
Because of my poor posture, and I use skunk cabbage.
Oh, good. That's great.
And all of these are liquids that I just put in water and drink it.
That's what makes it easy. Instead of taking a bunch
of
pills.
If they're interested in ordering, I could give them an ID number to order.
Oh, sure. Well, you just sent that in the email you sent to me, and I'll post it for everybody.
I'll send it to you.
Okay. Okay, that sounds great. You're doing some fascinating things, Vonna. Thanks for letting us all know.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for connecting in today.
Yeah.
So let me check to see if we've got any more questions that were submitted here during our program. It looks like not. And let me say, I'm really sorry about the echo here in our system. I normally can silence everybody else that's on the phone, but for some reason I wasn't able to accomplish that today. So sometimes these systems work perfectly and sometimes they don't. Today it wasn't quite as good as we would have hoped. But I want to thank everyone for connecting in and submitting your questions for our support group meeting today. And know that we'll connect back in 1 week from 1 month from today at the end of July, the last Monday at 12 noon Pacific time. Know that, too, you can always listen to the replays of all of our programs. The links are always on the support group page, so past programs, the replays are all listed for each month. And then we'll have a new listing for the program that we will be sponsoring in July of this next month. Thank you so much for connecting in to the program today. And also, thank you for your support of Parkinson's Recovery. Your funds provide all the many, many free resources that we provide that cost many, many thousands of dollars every month. So we appreciate your support and your questions and your interest and your continuing efforts to do what you need to do in order to reverse whatever symptoms you might currently be experiencing. So thank you so much for connecting in and joining us today for this June support group meeting. Know that by virtue of the fact that you are listening to this particular program, that you have attended this support group gathering for Parkinson's recovery, that you have set the intention to, in fact, come back into full balance and wellness. It's that mere intention that makes everything unfold and happen beautifully. And that's what's happening on, you guessed it, the shores of the Puget Sound, where all the women are smart, all the men are handsome, and all the children are truly loved. Thank you so much for connecting in today, and we look forward to connecting with you throughout the coming months. Good day.